This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho living in New York City, whose voice is a little bit raspy, and whose pronouns are she and her.
And Akua, one black girl, pronouns she and her, formerly known as the bald one, sexually fluid, demisexual, and the Q and the U in Quilt Bang.
So on the show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of the show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. In our group episodes, all the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is a bit different. It's a mailbag episode, and we're just talking about the sexual current events in your lives. Before we get into that, we have a couple of little segments, and they are
Bae of the Week.
We talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
Where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves. And date tip of the week, where we give you date ideas for the spring and summer.
If you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or the other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show or independently podcasting, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. So before we get into our segments, today's episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Coming up in this very episode, we have folks writing into us about dealing with homophobic families, insecurities within dating, and navigating toxic relationships. There's a myriad of different ways that life can get you down, and sometimes the best way to cope is to seek therapy and to talk to someone about what's going on. And nowadays, you can find those services online with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online portal that provides direct-to-consumer access to behavioral health services while offering online counseling and therapy services. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. So I use BetterHelp, and the process is actually super easy. After signing up, I filled out a comprehensive survey about what kinds of issues I'm dealing with and what kinds of counseling services I'm looking for. So if career anxiety is prominent for you, you can note that. If issues in your romantic relationships is pressing to you, you can note that also. You can also customize important things like the sexuality, gender, and race of your counselor, so you can feel your most comfortable in your counseling experience. Once you get matched, you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. So I'm alerted via email anytime my counselor gets back to me, so I can really engage in counseling when it's convenient for me to respond. Plus, I can go beyond text counseling. With BetterHelp, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/IHU and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Inner Ho Uprising listeners, that's y'all, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Once again, that's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. Now, let's get back into the show.
Up first, Bae of the Week.
Yes. So, this is Pride Month.
Yes.
And we're proud.
We're proud.
Exactly. We're proud. So last episode was a live episode. And since we were live and we like to play games with our audience live, we did Pride trivia, but I cut it out of the actual edit because that just feels weird. Mm-hmm. listening to trivia when you're listening to a podcast. But when we did trivia, we had a very special question inspired by our friend Money from Queer Walk Podcast about the acronym Quilt Bang. So you might have heard us say Quilt Bang later in the episode, but you might not have understood what it meant because you didn't hear the actual trivia portion. But Quilt Bang stands for, Akua, do you remember what it stands for?
It is queer, undecided, or unidentified, intersex, lesbian, trans, bisexual, asexual, non-binary, and gay.
Yes, and it is the most fun acronym that I've ever heard of in my entire life. So I said thank you to Money then, but I cut it out of the episode. So just for the podcast ethos, I want to say thank you to Money again. And yes, then also tell everybody to listen to Queer Walk, because it's a great podcast. And then also Nikita is being a zaddy on Instagram and... No one told her to do that.
But I appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. I need it in my life.
Yeah. Second bae of the week, Ari Fitz. So Ari is an androgynous looking queer, black, polyamorous filmmaker who I learned about on The Real World. The Real World is actually back, but it's like weird and on Facebook and it's all white people, but they're in Atlanta. But there's two black guys. Sounds like a bad time, but I used to really love The Real World, and I discovered Ari on it. And according to her Instagram, her pronouns are he, her, and daddy. But she also is like an avid YouTuber, and she like does vlogs and stuff like that. And she also has PCOS, so she's like growing a beard right now. And then also has been extremely like androgynous her whole entire life, but never like identified as a man. But people would put that on her because they thought that she looked like a man and carried herself like a man. So then people, when she started growing out her PCOS beard, what does that stand for? Polycystic ovary syndrome. So that can cause people who are born female to grow beards.
Yes, it's a hormonal imbalance that I guess plays with your secondary sex characteristics.
Okay. When she started growing out that beard, people were asking her if she was transitioning, and then she like replied to that on her YouTube and was like, no, I'm not transitioning, not that I owed anyone anything about my life. And then she like did this deep dive on like her relationship to gender, and now she's like, my gender is kind of like the you in Quilt Bang, like I'm not really sure, I'm just like going with
I'm out here.
Exactly. And she looks good, so that's why she's my bae of the week.
At the end of it, we are superficial as fuck. Exactly.
If she didn't look good, she wouldn't be here. But no, that's probably not true. But and then in addition to that, she partnered with this phone company for the month of June and released it when the New York pops out, and released a branded web series called Bubbles. And it's like three really, really queer black and brown vignettes about people in a relationship, but like the phone is the crux of the relationship. So it's like there's this trans model named Laith Ashley and this really cool cosplay person. I forgot what her name is, but she's like super cool. I'll put those people in the links to the episode too. But like their first thing is like they're in a LDR, in a long distance relationship, and they're just talking over FaceTime. But they're black and queer and trans, and it's just like, oh, that's so sweet. So I was proud of her for doing that and just glad that it exists. Like capitalism, we have to advertise, you need advertisement in capitalism, so like why not have these ads be indicative of everybody? If you want to follow Ari on YouTube, you can find her at Ari Fitz, and on Instagram it's Ari Fitz. And yeah, she's just like a good follow. Not only is she really transparent about her sexuality and now like her gender, but she's also pretty transparent about being in open relationships and being polyamorous, so it's a good time.
Oh, thank you, Samantha.
You're welcome.
I feel like I just learned something. Like, I gotta go find
Ari. You gotta follow her. Also, Ari, hey, if you're listening to this, we want you to be on the show.
Yes.
So let's link up. Our next segment is
Hoe of the Week.
Got mad niggas to shout out.
Got mad hoes. Yeah. Y'all done showed out. Yes. Oh, so first is, of course, everyone who attended the live show. Yay. Thank you for coming out and supporting us, spending your coin to see us. We appreciate it.
Yes, and on short notice, too.
Ooh, on short notice. They was like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like me and Beyonce, they stay ready. But my hoe of the week especially is a Stephanie, because when I say I've been waiting to have that conversation with a Stephanie... And I could have easily just texted a Stephanie. And I was like, it's not meant to be. When it's going to happen, we're going to have this conversation. And she said two words and I was like, thank you.
Wait, what were the two words that she said?
I don't even remember. It was, she was explaining demisexuality, and I was like, that is me right there. I was just waiting. I was just waiting for Stephanie to validate my existence.
You were just waiting for the validation.
You know, that was it. Because I knew she would say it, and I knew I'd be like, all right, that's all I need.
It seemed like a very affirming episode.
Well, I felt so, I woke up the next day just feeling so validated and affirmed. I was like, I know who I am.
Yay.
My friends helped me.
Yay.
But shout out to Stephanie, you know, for one, helping me find myself.
Yeah, that's important.
And two, you know, for supporting us and, you know, doing that live show with us.
Yes,
on also short notice.
On such short notice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bad bitch. Bad bitch of the month.
And
I don't
then
know
of
why
course,
I said that.
everyone who attended the movie screening.
Yes.
That Samantha and Rodeca hosted.
Yeah, that was a good time. Also, shout out to Jean for inviting us. Shout out to Blaze for being very attractive and having a great personality and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle for like being really, really transparent about her, I guess, space in that sub community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, this is This One's for the Ladies, which is the steamiest documentary of the summer. And basically it's about a group or a community of masculine strippers and the people who follow, the women who follow these masculine strippers and like go to their shows and stuff like that. And it goes into the backstory of the strippers' lives, and it goes into the backstory of the patrons' lives, and it goes into the backstory of like the community and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mad enjoyable. And it's NC-17, so there's dicks in it. And the dick that was in it was very large. So shout out to him, too. I believe that was Satan, the stripper Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, that's not it for the hoes of the week.
Oh, yes. Who else? Oh, okay. We have Sam of Salt and Sprinkles, who is a vegan baker, and she sends us cookies. And they're good cookies.
You'll have, ahead,
you'll have
some.
One. Yes, you'll have one. The person who's eating the most of them, my brother. Yeah, because I got them right before I went to LA. And
that was
been,
it.
Yeah, he's just been going to town on them.
So they have to be really good cookies.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Sam for like not poisoning us. Because I was kind of scared, but I was like, I'm hungry. So I ate the cookie.
I'm going to take
and
this chance.
And here I am to this day.
We would have known who did it. So
yeah, it would have been pretty, it would have been a bad idea. But,
yeah.
You know, some people out here wilding. Also, shout out to Kim H., who wrote us a email just to say that they really love the show. Those things are always appreciated, especially when I read it at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I don't want to edit this episode. And then we get that. Shout out to QZT, who paid a hoe, who became a patron. Shout out to Michael H., who paid a hoe via PayPal. And then shout out to all of the folks who have left us 5-star ratings on Apple iTunes for the podcast. This year, recently we hit 500 and now we're like at 512. And the average is still 5 stars.
Yes,
it is. Even though some people do be hating out here, but we don't acknowledge those people. Instead, shout out to Hi_Amp, Peace in Action, Benefits of Bravery, Just Adriana, Clitless, Lady Lover, SGH970, Lindsay Not Lohan, Simply Nay, and Gypsy Tramps and Thieves for all giving us stellar 5-star ratings and reviews. Thank you so much. And I will say, if you do have something negative to say about the show, you can write us an email.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than leaving a permanent 1-star rating on the show. If you love the show, we want to make the content that you like to listen to. And if we're not making the content that you like to listen to, tell
us
that. Yeah.
We're always up for suggestions.
And we always do say, do you guys like this?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know how you're feeling. Write into ihupodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. You don't got to write a bad review, but we respect it if you do. Now let's go into self-care tip of the week.
So my self-care tip of the week is to download the app Shine, which is a self-care and meditation app.
Mm.
And it provides you with motivation and positive affirmations that are geared towards you and your personality and your needs. My grad school colleagues put me onto this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they even sent me some of like the articles that they'll send you. So they'll send you like at least one positive affirmation a day, and then they'll send you like an article. And one of the articles was 5 major benefits of building an idle 5 into your day, which talked about really just taking 5 minutes of your day and doing nothing, like a white space kind of time, doing absolutely nothing to refresh and kind of bring you back and help you be more aware and mindful. Mm-hmm. And another one, which I really liked, was four ways to activate your intuition and make this feels right decisions. And it talked about the science of intuition and the need for it and how to tap into yours so that you're making decisions that are based off of that and actual facts that are going on and decisions that you can, you know, stand by and feel proud of. So I was like, oh, let me check this out. And while I'm checking it out, I'm gonna have y'all check it out.
Okay.
And I think it's free.
I'm gonna check that out. Thank you. Yeah. And dating tip of the week. You wrote this.
Cool. The actual date. So last week I was walking around my apartment complex villa thing, and some guy stopped and talked to me and basically picked me up on the street. Cool. And I was like, one, I'm not giving you my number. You can have my burner number. You can set up a date for us on Friday. And I don't want to hear anything from you. This is what I told him. I was like, I don't want to hear anything from you but the details of this date for Friday at 8 p.m. that we just agreed to. And, you know, if I like that date, we'll continue. And if I don't, we won't. Yeah. The end. It's because valid. I'm tired. I can't do this with these niggas no more. He was fine, so I was like, all right, let's if anything, I get to look at you, you're cute, and I get a meal.
Yes.
Instead he did the complete opposite, which was text me, and I was like, I'm not answering you. I'm just not. And the more that he did not follow directions, the more I was just not interested. And then Friday came, and I guess because I wasn't talking to him the whole week, he just didn't have anything to say. But I could have entertained it, because, you know, who just want, you met someone on Sunday and you don't talk to them. Like, people are used to conversing and, you know, communicating prior to. Yeah. And I could have did it, but I realized that I didn't want to.
That's fine,
did
too.
Did not want to.
Yeah. I understand why he wanted to, and I understand why you don't want
but
to.
But I just didn't. Yeah. And that made me realize.
This is going to be something not smart. He's probably going to say something really, really ignorant.
But for those who actually do want to date, the dating tip is to actually go on the date.
Okay.
Follow up and see, you know.
Yeah.
And take and try it out.
That's a good point, because I just be like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. It's the introversion, though.
It is. It's like
too many things have been expended that week socially. I'm like, now you want me to spend it on you?
Mm-hmm.
Like my last of my last? Nah. I'd rather watch Netflix, but also not with you. and then like 2 o'clock in the morning in the Netflix binge, I'll be like, I'm so lonely. So thank you, Uhua. I'll keep that in mind. I'm supposed to be going out with somebody on Wednesday. Is that going to happen?
Go on the date, sis. Go on we'll the actual
see.
Date.
We'll see. All right. Cool. Now to some event plugs.
First up, we have the Juneteenth After Work Kickback hosted by Tea with Queen and Jay. And Juneteenth is the first Black national holiday that commemorates the day slaves in Texas learned about the abolition of slavery and the Emancipation Proclamation years after it occurred. Queen NJ of Tea with Queen NJ holds an annual kickback to celebrate this holiday, Black experience, Black existence, heritage, and community, because that's what they fucking do.
Yes.
Wednesday, June 19th, from 6 to 10 p.m. after work at Bomb Bar. That is 3 Bleecker Street.
I'll be there shaking my ass as per usual.
Hey.
Yes. I'll be shaking ass for two.
Yeah.
Since you're not there, I'll be shaking my ass for you.
Thank you.
Of course. Shortly after that, Tea with Queen and Jay are doing something else that's pretty cool. They're speaking at the Afros and Audio Festival. So Afros and Audio is the inaugural podcast festival for Black podcast creators and people in the audio/digital tech workspace. Tea with Queen and Jay's talk is titled "The Market Is Not Flooded," and they're speaking about the myth of the scarcity model and how to be communal in the Black podcasting space and how to be community ass bitches, which is honestly what they do very, very fucking well. That's happening at the We Are Much Different space in Brooklyn, which is where we did our live show a couple of weeks ago. Their talk is going to be Saturday, June 22nd, I believe in the mid-afternoon, but this festival is 2 days, so you can come to one or both, and you can find tickets to buy tickets at afrosandaudio.com, and that will be in the description of this episode. And then
And then, because the bad bitch brigade does not stop.
Yes. We sleep, but we don't stop. We're healthy about our shit.
I want to say favorite, because I just love them. My people at Marsha's Plate will be coming to New York City.
Very excited.
From way of Texas.
Yes.
To New York City. And they'll be having a live broadcast at the Queer Global Pride fundraiser. Mm-hmm. This is on Saturday, June 29th, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then there's a dance party afterwards where I'm gonna shake my ass till they tell me to leave. There will be food, there will be drinks, there'll be big goods for sale, there'll be raffles, and admission is based on what you can donate, because we want this to be, or they want this to be, accessible as hell.
Right.
And this is going to be at the Talon Bar in Brooklyn. That's 220 Wyckoff Avenue in Brooklyn. You will see us.
Yes.
You will see mostly all of the bad,
probably, yeah, probably
the baddie brigade,
yeah.
And it's going to be a good ass black ass time.
Yes, it is. And Rob is going to be their special guest.
Yes,
Rob is going to be up there on the stage with them.
I don't know what that discussion's about to be, but I am
ready. I know it's
going to
be lit. Yeah,
I'm
gonna
ready for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to have other special guests. I think they are. So it's just going to be a good ass time, because you know, Diamond knows everybody. Yeah, Diamond actually does know everybody, so like all of your queer
and
faves
it's
are
going
be
to be Diamond, Mia, and Z, like
yes,
all three
in New York.
In New York,
New York might explode.
That might be the end of the world. Come prepared and have a good ass time as the world implodes with us.
Yes, so excited for that. And then if you're not tired at the end of June, because I told you we had events for you all throughout June, and have we not delivered? Are you not
every
entertained? Yes, every single fucking week. Sometimes back to back to back in one week. Then July 7th, which is very close to Akua and mine's birthday.
Yes.
We are doing this July edition of Sex Trivia Sundays. If you haven't been to Sex Trivia Sundays yet, this is the one that you want to go to.
This is the one.
The energy is going to be off the fucking wall, my nigga. This is going to be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Love Story Bar. It's free. You can compete or you can just watch. Some people just come and watch and just like have the answers right, but don't say anything, because niggas is just like out here being smart, but not wanting to tell other people that they're smart.
Not wanting to compete for a prize.
Exactly. You could do that, or you could compete for the prize, or you could win the prize and give it away. People have done that before. Sex trivia is just like a good socialist time. We're just having a good time giving out free shit.
People come and twerk. Well, mostly me and Samantha are twerking. People are voguing.
Other people, remember the girl who twerked last time?
Oh, yeah.
And won the prize. There was a special twerk prize. You can do that if you
they
don't win the
voguing,
overall prize.
They are doing the splits.
Yes.
We're
doing
fucking
the splits
it up.
Outside. Yeah.
We're fucking it up,
it's
y'all.
It's not your average trivia night, okay? It's not your white trivia night. It's actually pretty lit. It's actually pretty sexy. Yeah, the music is always good. It's always either Rob or Rod on the music. Both of them are great DJs. We have drink specials like the cum shot, which is quite delicious. And there's two prizes, and both the prizes are sponsored by Babeland. And we have our new addition to the Inner Hall Uprising, Nika, who is the fourth fifth and quite attractive member of Inner Ho Uprising. She's our sex expert for the evening, and she's great.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is a good time. The last one I had a blast.
A whole blast.
Yes, exactly. So those,
and it was packed.
Oh, yeah, it was packed.
Ooh.
It was a good time. It was a good time. We hope to see you there this time. And since we are going on break, not this episode, but after this episode for the month of July, because it's bitch's birthday month and bitches need sleep and like rest and to reset, and we deserve breaks
bitches
and rest time.
She, Smith, is bitches. I second all of that. She needs a rest.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna leave her alone.
Yeah. So for the month of July, because we are going off, but we still are going to do at least sex trivia in August, and our friends are going to have events and stuff like that, you can visit innerhouseuprising.com/events to see to keep up with us throughout the rest of the summer.
Mm-hmm. You can also catch it on our social media as well.
Yes.
Very good at posting them for y'all.
Yes. Now, let's get into these mailbag, these listener letters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a segment that we like to call
Fuck You.
So if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, or let us know your critiques of the show or your loves of the show, you can send your thoughts to ishoopodcast@gmail.com. And please include your pronouns.
Yes.
All right, up first, we have a message from Lala entitled First Same-Sex Relationships. Hi, HU. Sending love from London, England. I've been an avid listener since the very beginning and would like to thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for everything that you do. Please keep doing what you're doing. You're saving lives. I say that with the full weight of its meaning. The episode Processing My Queerness was a revelation for me. When I started writing this email, I thought I wanted advice on entering into my first same-sex relationship, but as the weeks have gone by, life has happened and I have more on my plate to deal with. I'm a 31-year-old Black British cis woman, pronoun she and her. I live with my parents still as house and renting is out of the question. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Mm-mm. I'm living my dad forever and he knows that.
And he's welcomes okay with
that.
It.
Yeah, he actually does welcome it.
Y'all gotta stop letting these white people tell you that you gotta be independent.
Exactly.
No, that is
exactly.
That's capitalism.
That is capitalism, and it's like it's also backwards to capitalism because now you're putting money into somebody else's shit and not even your own shit. But if your living situation is toxic, it's a complicated
thing. Yeah, it is. Do what you got. Do what's best for you.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. I've always known I was bisexual and slept with and dated all kinds of people. I'm currently in a great relationship with a woman 14 years my senior. She respects me, accepts me for who I am, and is just the shining light in my life.
Aww.
We have our issues, exes, finding time together and finding that balance. We work in the same office.
Ooh, okay. Mm.
I have many friends who identify as many things and my parents have always welcomed them and been cordial. They are, however, very homophobic behind closed doors. My mom, I think, has grown to accept that there are many different types of people in the world and my dad is just Old Testament. Like he's just the book.
He's the book of the Bible. Cool.
Okay. Well, I can see how that could be homophobic. If there is a gay couple on TV kissing, he will change the channel. He has always said that if one of his sons, I have two brothers, were gay, he would disown them. But if I was gay, it would not be great, but better because what women do is cleaner than what men do. This is quite problematic. That doesn't even make sense. Every time the subject of anything remotely queer or a break from the norm comes up, he will go off in a horrifying way and will end up arguing. I wish that was the end of it. Although my parents have been together for nearly 45 years, there seems to be no love or respect there. Their example of marriage is the direct opposite of anything I want in life. I've tried to date so far removed from who my father is in the past. I doubt I ever will marry or have children. I'm terrified of becoming the jealous, mean, controlling person he is. Maybe I've rambled on too much because I have forgotten my questions. Human consciousness would be like that sometimes. How do I navigate through this toxicity while maintaining my mental health, which is on the edge anyway? I'm working two jobs, hiding my relationship, trying to be an intermediary for my parents, and trying not to lose it. Love you all and thank you for what you do. Lala.
Ooh, Lala. The parents.
So, a lot of life going on.
Baby parenting.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes family is toxic, man.
Yeah. Sometimes family is problematic.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah.
How do I navigate through this toxicity while maintaining my mental health?
Maybe some things have to be put aside, right?
What do you mean?
Like if being the intermediary between her parents is contributing to the life being on the edge, mm-hmm. maybe that's toxicity that you don't navigate.
Oh, yeah, that is actually...
Like just...
That is very right. Like, I don't know what you mean by being the intermediary. Like, do they come to you after fights? Are you, like, really the referee in them bitches, like, breaking them up?
Yeah.
But... That ain't none of your business.
That's not your job.
That is not your job.
Your parents are, like, adults.
They've been married...
Longer than you've...
Been here, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. They've been around for a minute now.
You know.
They have the tools and capability, or they have the tools to get them the tools mm-hmm. to do this, right? Like, if they want to salvage their relationship, maybe they don't. But either way...
And that
like,
might be best.
Yeah, exactly. And that's up to them to, like, decide. Or mm-hmm. if they do want to salvage their relationship, they can go and seek therapy. You mm-hmm. know? Like, that is not your job.
Mm-mm.
I know that you want to because
those are your parents.
Yeah.
People that's your family.
Wanna, yeah. But nah, you gotta put yourself first.
You gotta salvage your mental health.
Exactly.
You know, and if that means if they're fighting, going for a walk.
Yeah.
Putting on headphones. Mm-hmm. Telling them to shut the fuck up. Yeah. Take that elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's what you have to do to distance yourself from that. But don't jump in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, get immersed into it, because at the end, it's still their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if, you know, you had two good friends that were dating and were always fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to put yourself in there. You have to set those boundaries for yourself.
Exactly.
And your parents have to work that out for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think in, like, because obviously a shift has to be made, and you should be, I think, verbal about the shift so that they know your boundaries and that mm-hmm. you're steadfast yes. in them. When you have that relationship, you should suggest to both of them that they go and seek help from, like, an outside source.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you just can't do it anymore. You know,
navigating the toxicity that comes with their homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've had this conversation with your partner about your parents' stance and their ideologies, because also kind of keeping your relationship closeted can put tension and stress on your relationship, depending on where your yeah. partner is with their parents and their family.
Mm-hmm.
So discussing that with your partner about your family, and if they're okay and on board with you keeping that from your, you know, from your parents, like, yo, we not gonna meet my mama.
Yeah.
Cause if she says something wrong, I'm gonna have to fight her. And I don't yeah. want to fight my mama. And I yeah. don't want you to be in a situation, I don't want to ever put you in a situation where someone has disrespected you.
Right. And then, like, because of my economic situation, I live with her. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is not no shade to you or anything like that. This is just, like, survival.
Yeah, this is where I'm at right now. And if they're okay with that, you don't gotta mention anything about this to your family.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you feel the need to. I don't feel like I got that from this letter. Like, oh, I need to share this with my family.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
So if that's, you know, if that's the wavelength that you're on, if you don't feel like you need to share this with your family, and the stress is not coming from hiding your identity from your family, keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
You are 31 years old. They don't need to know who you fucking.
Yeah, exactly. They don't. And also, they don't want to know. I mean, I don't think they want to know. Oh, just like, so being a queer person yourself, and even if you're not a queer person, just seeing the types of things that, like the things that her dad says or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm sure that's, like, bothering her. What would you suggest? I would say it's always easier to not engage in the bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know the frequency of which your dad is spewing this hate.
Right.
So if it's like fly by, you know, comments when he sees something on TV, or mm-hmm. is it like every day he's talking about the gays and the queers?
Yeah, which is quite possible.
That can bog you down. That can chip away at you.
Yeah.
But if it's fly by comments, like, my family makes fly by problematic comments all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just shake my head and I just yeah. go about my business. I'm like, yeah. I'm not about to educate you. I'm not about to argue with you, because it won't be education. It'd be argument.
Exactly. And once again, self-preservation.
Exactly. Because you're not going to listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that on me. I don't want that distress on me. So I just shake my head and I just go about my business, because at the end, I don't have to share my parts of my life with them no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I agree with that. Yeah. And then aside from that, just like in terms of keeping yourself afloat.
And working two jobs. More yeah. power to you, because capitalism is a scam.
Yeah.
Such a scam. But trying to make those as communal for you as you can. Like, you work in one office with your girlfriend. So hopefully that's good. You yeah. know, yeah. hopefully that gives you the motivation to go to that job. And hopefully the other job isn't toxic and isn't, you know, wearing you down mm-hmm. as much as capitalism tries to.
Mm-hmm.
And do what you got to do. If you're working two jobs to save to move out, then hey.
Yeah. Then that's going to be a trade-off. Yeah. Then you're going to nix all that other shit from your life.
If you're working two jobs just to survive, I am sorry.
Yeah.
Capitalism is a scam.
Yeah.
But definitely, if you feel like your mental health is on the edge, therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Carve that space out for you where you can process this with a professional, and get more tips that are very directed for you and your life, and the personal niches in it, because we don't know much just from this letter.
Right.
And, you know, self-care for your relationship, really trying to take care of yourself as you move through this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hope that helps. Let us know you know,
mm-hmm.
let us know how it goes. And best of luck, sending you all of the love and all of the light.
Yes.
All that. And then also, if teletherapy is something that you are interested in, consider using BetterHelp.
Because you're working two jobs. So going to a brick and mortar office.
Yeah, it might not
be hard.
Yeah.
Teletherapy, really just finding what form of therapy that can help you through this, because we gotta keep ourselves together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this next story is entitled "Too Much Dumb Bitch Juice." Now I'm confused, and it's written by
D.
Okay, so D writes.
Pronouns she and her.
Sorry, D pronouns she and her writes. "Hey, badass hoes. I met this cute girl on Tinder nearly 2 months ago in March. She's cute, funny, and she makes me feel great and all that good shit. Nice. We are not in a relationship. Neither of us wants to be, so that's pretty cool. We both still have Tinder. Sometimes we go on each other's and shit. It's all cool. But I'm mad conflicted because I get pretty jealous when she talks about someone else and flirts with them, but I'm cool if she hooks up with them and nothing else, even though she hasn't hooked up with anyone since I met her. Or anyone else since I met her. I'm conflicted and confused because I hate relationships and the idea of them, especially at a young age. I'm 19, she's 20, and I don't want to restrict someone's life. But at the same time, I hate how I feel when I think of her, quote unquote, talking to other people. Not in a possessive way, more of an insecure way. And that confuses her just as much as it does me. Like, I listened to the solo polyamory episode and I thought, that is me, but now I'm not sure about anything. I know that figuring myself out is a process and that will take time, and giving myself the time to do that is important, but I really like this girl and I don't know what the fuck to think or do. She knows all of this and we're going to have a long ass conversation about that after our exams and deadlines, so in the beginning of June. So hoes, please help a bitch out with some advice." Okay, hope this gets to you in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's about mid-June right now.
The issue is that they do not want a relationship.
But they also want exclusivity.
Yes, but they are jealous. Not even exclusivity, because they're jealous when their partner seems to be
emotionally connected to people.
Uh-huh. But if physically or sexually, they're like, all right, do you.
Mm-hmm.
And that begs the question, what kind of significance or weight are you putting on these emotional connections?
Mm-hmm.
And is it a fear of yours that if they have an emotional connection with someone else, they will no longer have an emotional connection with you?
Yeah, it seems like that's what the fear is, because of the fact that it makes them feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's a couple of things here. Like, obviously, feeling insecure is not a good feeling, but it's a normal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a human feeling, as is jealousy. So like, if something like open relationships and non-monogamy is something that you want to work up to, and especially as a solo polyamorous person, at some point in time, you're going to have to get to the place in your life where you're okay with other people forming emotional connections with other people. That's not going to happen overnight. Like, it just takes work and time, especially if it's insecurity on your end and you need to like actually do the work in building yourself up and realizing that one person can be great emotionally and personality wise and another person can be great emotionally and personality wise. Like, think about it in terms of like, you have more than one friend probably.
Mm-hmm.
And you like all of your friends and you don't like rank your friends, or maybe you do, but that's another thing that you should unpack and consider. But as you're working on that, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen overnight, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to apply to this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if the other girl wants to continue to see people, you might have to like break it off.
Yeah, like emotionally connect with other people.
Yeah.
Then you might have to go your separate ways.
Yeah, because you're just like not ready for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you'll never be ready for that. You are in the process of like discovering yourself. At some point in time in this discovery, you could say like, I'm monogamous now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could rediscover yourself 5 years later and be like, okay, now I'm actually ready for solo polyamory. But just because this is happening right now, I would say come to the conclusion of whether or not you can like work on yourself and make this work, or if you should just like end things. Because I don't know where you are in this, but mm-hmm. something's got to give. Yeah.
I'd say all of that, actually. Really just exploring what kind of weight you're putting on these emotional connections, and knowing that you're a bad bitch just as the next person is a bad bitch.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You can both be equal bad bitches in your partner's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Live, you know.
Yeah.
No one else will dim your shine, because mm-hmm. they're sparkly too.
Yeah, it's quite possible. And then also, honestly, like, it's not like the end of this journey or whatever, but like when you get even deeper into this, you then do realize that sometimes partners are going to like other people more than they like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even just like in non-monogamy. That happens in monogamy. That happens amongst friendships. That happens, like, sometimes parents like a child more than they like another child. That's just life.
And you know, that is right. That is the qualities that that relationship brings out of them, and mm-hmm. how they bond over that and how they hold significance to that, you know, and it happens.
Yeah. So, like, it's really coming to terms with that, mm-hmm. that, like, you have to come to terms with, but you don't have to do it now. You don't even have to do it. Like, if that thought is, like, too much for you, you can decide, like, maybe solo polyamory is not the thing for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just to, like, also insert that in there, like, a part of polyamory is understanding that, like, not all relationships are actually equal
at all.
But yeah. It's like that. That's life. It's kind of like coming to the terms with the fact that, like, you're going to die. Sorry to take you there. There's just things that suck in life that you have to come to terms with.
You have to come to terms and kind of accept.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you're not great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll come in time. You're very young. You're also, you're like doing a lot of emotional work that a lot of young people don't do.
That will not do.
So shout out to you.
You have a leg up there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let us know how that conversation goes with your partner if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this comes in time.
Yes.
So this one is from Eleanor and it's titled, "So Hoes, Please Help a Bitch Out with Some Advice." Hey hoes, first of all, thank you for this podcast. It's so informative and I'm learning a lot of new things. I'm a 25-year-old black female and I've recently come to terms with the fact that I identify as bisexual. Nice. My fiance is so supportive of me and has been helping me process this whole thing. He's the only one who knows and has been asking me if I'll come out to my family before or after the wedding. My family is made up of Bible Belt Baptists, and so you know that this isn't going to be easy. My family is quick to say things about the LGBTQ plus community, quote thing.
Gang, gang, gang.
That are quite offensive and are hurtful to me. I don't want to be exiled from my family, but I feel like I really need to tell them because this is a part of who I am. I'm really scared that they're gonna write me off and put my name on the prayer list every week for the Lord to save my soul. Do you guys have any advice for me? How did you guys come out to your families, or did you? Thank you for the advice. Sincerely, Eleonora.
Sorry. Interesting.
Who? Eleonora.
Yeah.
So Eleonora is bisexual and is currently in a hetero-passing relationship.
Yeah. That's interesting. Before we take it to the step of advice, I would say, I would also say, like, measure that this could go very bad.
Mm.
And are you, have you come to terms with the fact that, or if you do really want to do this, you have to come to terms with the fact that they might, like, react very negatively.
They might do all of these things.
Yeah.
They might hold a prayer circle.
Yeah.
They might put your name on the list to be prayed for by the pastor every Sunday.
Yeah.
They might completely
disown you.
No, not even disown, but they might completely invalidate you because they see your heteronormative relationship. They're like, girl, are you still marrying Mike? All right, cool.
Yeah.
And act like you never said a word.
Yeah.
And I don't know how easier that might feel for you or how, you know, much more difficult that makes for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that as a clear possibility given that you're getting married.
Yeah.
And they'll just look at you like,
okay, so it's like,
but you married
what did
them.
You say? Yeah, kind of just like, I feel like sometimes religious people have the tendency to like, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and close their ears about things. I could definitely see that happening. But that would be my biggest advice, is accepting the fact that that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And go from, because anything that you do is not going to like, it's not going to make it any better on their end. Mm-hmm. How they react is them,
mm-hmm.
and how you react is on you.
And how you're prepared for their reaction.
Exactly.
Is on you.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing about it. Mm-hmm. How did you guys come out to your families? I didn't. I have like 3 close family members. One of them died before I even accepted the fact that I was queer. My brother probably like knows and doesn't care. And then I don't talk to my dad about my sex life. So mm-hmm. that's not a conversation that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't foresee myself coming out to my family. Because it's none of their business. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just none of their business. And I'm not in that space where their acceptance of me matters.
Yeah.
We are far past that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, me processing my queerness, identifying as sexually fluid, won't matter unless I come home with a partner that is, you know, of the same gender or of mm-hmm. a non-male.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Presenting gender. But even then, I don't bring these niggas home to my mama when I really like them.
Yeah, exactly.
They would not have met my son's father if I had not gotten pregnant.
Yeah.
They didn't know he existed. We were together for like 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of a big distance. And that's been always been my stance. It's, I don't need your acceptance about my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
If I got married, I throw him an invitation. I'm like, yo, you come through.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
That's about it.
But yeah, it's like, I'm not dating anyone seriously enough, nor do I plan to even care to broach that. And then also, I feel like it would just be like, okay.
Like that would be. But, you know, there are some people who this is a big part of them and they need to tell their families.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely respect that. But again, preparing yourself for their response, knowing your family, you know your family, so mm-hmm. you know the things that might come out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And if they disown you, are you okay with starting your family with your fiance and moving forward?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And weigh that against the need for them to know this part of you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I also don't know if you and your fiance are polyamorous. Will there ever be a same gendered partner that you'd have to introduce to them? Like, mm-hmm. how much do they need to know of this?
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are monogamous, then do they need to know?
I'm thinking maybe one of the reasons why they do want to say it is just because it's like the family is so anti-LGBTQ and mm-hmm. they know that they are. Mm-hmm. So like maybe she thinks like saying it will be like,
will change.
Yeah.
Or like be a spark, a catalyst for them
yeah,
to be like,
or just be like, yo, stop. Like mm-hmm. you're hurting me when you do those things. I don't know.
Hit your bag on that.
I would not. That's the exact phrase I was thinking about, but I kept saying hinge in my head. And I was like, that's not it. But yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Like that doesn't. It's like when you're talking to a nigga and you're like, you know, women, like they're going through this and niggas be like, okay. Like, I still hate those bitch. Like, I don't. Yeah, they're pretty deep down in their bigotry that mm-hmm. I don't know if that's actually going to help you right now. But yeah.
Well, yeah, weighing these things out and seeing, you know, what you really feel like you need to do. I'm very glad that your fiance is supportive.
Yeah, that's good.
Because who would have been hard?
Yeah, I got nobody out here, son.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And again, these questions, if you guys are monogamous, if you guys are polyamorous, how will this come across,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let us know how that goes also.
Yes. Let us know when the wedding is. I love weddings.
Yeah. Can you invite us to the wedding?
You know.
Because weddings are so good. There's like good music, free ass food, a chance to dress up.
Free drinks if you have an open bar.
Open bar. It's just good. And then honestly, Nick, people just be more horny at weddings. So
they should all be wanting companionship and sexual love.
Yeah. Weddings are great. Shout out to the people that throw them. What are these bitches getting married? Okay. Question four.
So this is from a SoundCloud user, Slater C.
Yes.
And they write, hello. You often talk about the differences between men and women in dating. I would like to know, would you say men and women often date for different purpose? For example, women date for companionship and to actually look for a long-term partner, while men date just to have casual sex. I don't remember us talking about women in dating.
Yeah, I don't know why they said that.
The differences between men. I mean, maybe they got that for the fact that we call niggas fuckboys all the time. But
you here is pretty general. I don't know. That could refer to anybody. Maybe it was just talking about like SoundCloud podcast or anything like that. Yeah, we don't talk about that. Maybe during the first season, but I also don't think that we talked about that then mm-hmm. either. I would say that I agree with this, not like on some, oh, we're built to do that shit, but I do think that
socialized?
Yes, men and women are socialized to believe that they want different things, mm-hmm. and that does play out into how we date. So on that front, yes, Slater C, I would give that to you. But that is like, it also becomes, because like we are socialized as that, and because not everybody even agrees with that, then that plays out into how we're dating. And you can mm-hmm. tell a nigga, like, I am actually just dating you for casual sex, and you ask him to call you, and then he's like, oh, this bitch wants to get married, and then
yeah,
he ghosts
they
you.
Then believe that you are looking for a long-term relationship.
Exactly.
That you're trying to reel them into one secretly by yes. saying you just want casual sex.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
and
I
by
just
saying
want.
It like over and over again.
And you're just like, I just want casual
I just
sex.
why do you guys have to fuck everything up? It's just so fucked up.
So definitely, I feel like society needs to let go of these socialized myths, yes, and just start asking people and what believing, yes, people,
yes,
about what they want. Mm-hmm. Because there will be a nigga that just be like, I am trying to get married. What are you trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm trying to get married too. Let's go. Or I go like, nigga, it was just looking like some dick right now. I don't know.
People, and then also being honest, because mm-hmm, then conversely, you do have niggas who are just like, yeah, I'm just trying to get to know you, and then fuck, and then like never talk to you ever
and
again.
It's
like, you could have just said that.
I may have been down for,
yes,
that.
Yes, or I may not have, but like, give me the fucking choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of that that listener that wrote in about that one night stand where they came,
oh, yeah,
to their bed at 4 a.m. and then goes like, you could have, I would have told you no. I would have been, exactly, down for
and
sex
then you,
tomorrow.
You wouldn't have fucking had to come here.
You wouldn't have waited like, that time. I told you we weren't fucking. Why don't you believe that?
I don't know.
We need to start socializing people to believe what people say.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Their words.
There's issues, man. Well, I hope that helps later. Next up,
this letter is from Whitney, and Whitney writes, hey y'all, I've decided to have a sex talk with my son next month. He is a 12-year-old cis male, and as far as I know, he is heterosexual. Whenever the topic comes up about relationships, I make sure to include LGBT relationships in hopes to teach him to not be homophobic. His dad and I had him when we were in high school. I personally was a hypersexual child. My earliest sexual feelings that I can remember were in elementary school when I got to the feeling like I had to pee as I watched the movie Species when I was 5 years old. I never got the sex talk, so I want him to have it. He has also told me that his dad had a talk with him and referred to his penis as his third leg. WTF, what the fuck? I want to give him a well-rounded talk that includes consent, safety, and the LGBT community. I would like to get some advice on anything I should include. I would also like for you to tell me anything you feel you wish the men in your life should have grown up learning. Thank you, Whitney. Now, Whitney had also sent this letter to our good people at Marsha's Plate, and they read and answered this letter in their episode number 76, Bigots, Birds, and the Bees. For their response, you can start at the time mark of an hour and 14 minutes 57 seconds, and it pretty much goes to the end of the episode. In their response, Diamond Z and Mia listed things that Whitney should include starting at 1 hour, 45 minutes, which include male and female body parts, pregnancy, abstinence, non-sexual intimacy and affection, birth control, abortion, masturbation, sexual orientation and gender identities, STDs, emotional consequences of sex, rape, gray areas of rape and date rape, sexual assault and abuse, especially for male identifying people, enthusiastic consent and coercion, how to get enthusiastic consent and how not to coerce people and what coercion can look like, alcohol and drugs, and making sexual decisions while under the influence, and then again sexual abuse as a male child. They also discussed with Whitney about breaking these topics into multiple conversations. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a concise ass response.
Same.
What do I wish the men in my life had known growing up?
Which man?
I'm assuming romantic or sexual partners.
Okay.
Or even when I think about, my son's gonna be 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a girlfriend since he was like 4, quote unquote, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually we've had ongoing sex talks,
mm-hmm,
not really about like having sex or being interested in sex, but really focused on, you know, sexual abuse, bad touch, good,
yeah,
touch, consent was a big one, because he would call this one girl his girlfriend and she was like, nigga, I don't like you. And I'm like, David, leave her alone. She says she does not want to be your girlfriend. We take it at that and we find another girl who wants to be our girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And we ask them if they want to be our girlfriend. We don't just put the title on them and then walk around like you mine. No, that's not how it works. So we've had those kind of conversations for as long as I can remember. There are conversations about different gender identities, mm-hmm. not different sexual orientations yet. Is there anything I would want him to know that's outside of this list? No. But I would really hinge on male and female anatomy. Because niggas don't be knowing. I think I pee on my ass. I don't know.
Yeah, honestly. Did they talk about, like, cleanliness?
Hygiene. They did not end that. Yes.
Yeah.
Hygiene.
Especially for male-identified individuals. Mm-hmm.
And that hygiene and
does
sexual
not
acts.
Have anything to do with your... First of all, does not have anything to do with your sexual identity.
Ooh.
So wiping your ass does not mean you're gay. Mm-hmm. You can be gay and wipe your ass, though. how that really comes into play in regards to sexual acts, health and comfort. Yes. Like, you don't want to be giving people BV out here. BV is bacterial vaginosis for folks who might not know.
And it's uncomfortable.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Did they talk about pleasure?
No.
So that's another thing that that's just something that I listened to the episode. I hadn't listened to it in a while. I'm a cool re-listened. I love you guys. I listen to every episode.
No, it was a while back. And I remember I was like, oh, I have to get, I remember that I loved their response. I was like, I have to actually get what their response was.
Yeah. I would add pleasure specifically to the men in my life. And I'm specifically talking about people who are sexual partners. Cause I just find that like it takes a while for men to get there. To where they care about the pleasure of their partners. So like sex when I was younger was a lot. Well, after I broke up with my ex, because he was good, but that's because we'd been together for like years and he actually cared about
he actually cared about you.
Yeah, me as a person, right? But then also cared about how I was being pleasured sexually, because there's some niggas who do care about women as people and still are not giving good dick. Mm-hmm. And by giving good dick, I just mean like an over, like they think that
having
when
good
we
sex.
Say, exactly. They think that we, when we say like having good dick, it just means like, oh, do I have like a lengthy dick? Mm-hmm. Do I have a girthy dick? Am I like keeping it hard for a long enough period of time? But like none of that equates to good sex.
It's all penetration centered.
Yeah.
And I don't got no nerve endings in my vagina. So. Though I do love me some penetration,
not
but like,
man.
And this is where we go back to anatomy, because understand pleasure, you have to understand that I don't have no nerve endings in my vagina.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. Yeah. But no.
Yeah. So like anatomy, caring about pleasure, and that comes into like enthusiastic consent and like
foreplay.
Exactly. Foreplay, asking, just asking, understanding that asking is like not.
It doesn't make you inept. It doesn't make you inadequate.
It doesn't make it not sexy.
It doesn't make it not sexy.
Listening. Because when people tell you things like that, you're still like, oh, well, I'm just going to do
this
anyway.
What I want.
Yeah. Do they talk about porn?
No.
Yeah. I think that's another thing that you should talk to your son about, because kids watch porn.
Mm-hmm.
But that has different implications, right? So... I don't know. I'm not a parent. I don't know. How would you cover a porn conversation?
Yeah.
Because obviously you don't want your kids to start watching porn too early, because that's problematic. But then also I don't want my child to be like.
What do you feel is problematic about it?
I don't know. I just feel like that's too.
And that's
it's also a risky part of the internet and stuff like that. I don't know.
So, especially because now we're in an age where
it's mad accessible.
Your kids can get to porn with a click. Okay. Two clicks and boom, people fucking in front of them.
Yeah.
So a conversation about porn, not specifically porn, but like bad and good websites to go on and what my son could do, because he had his own tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him free range on things that he could do.
Mm-hmm.
But websites, that just weren't good. If introducing porn, or if you know that he might be at that age where he starts looking at porn, letting him know that sex and porn is not sex in real life, my nigga.
Yeah, that. But then also not feeling like it's shameful.
Yes.
And that might be something that maybe more like female childs might identify with, but just in general, knowing that like masturbation is okay, and mm-hmm. then like, especially for female children, although this is not the question, mm-hmm. It's like beneficial to your sex life, mm-hmm. and knowing what you want and things like that.
Knowing that what you see, what you see in porn is not what's going to happen in real life. Mm-hmm. Do not try to bend her like a pretzel. Do not jump from the edge of the bed, you know, and try to penetrate her. No, none of that is about to happen. Listen to your partner about what feels comfortable. And if he's into some different subgenres of porn,
pterodactyl porn.
These niggas be putting me onto some stuff every week in this group chat. I'm like, what? But if you're into, you know, different types of porn that may or may not be animated, include actual human people, whatever, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your rocks off how you get off.
There's no shame. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like, you know, child pornography or necrophilia or animals or anything like that.
We're not doing bestiality. We're not doing pedophilia. We're not doing...
One thing that, and I learned this not as a child, but when I was in college, was like the titling of porn and mm-hmm. how it always depersonalizes women.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, that could be, and these are all like happening over time, but that could also be another conversation to have with your kid about how all of this content that he's engaging with and consuming is coloring how he views people out mm-hmm. there. So like you could talk to Dave a million times, but Dave has to have like a mechanism in his head for like reevaluating the things that he's getting out there from classmates and TV and mm-hmm. porn and things like that. So one of the things that I learned was like they never say like woman has sex with in porn. It's always like bitch gets fucked mm-hmm. or slut gets fucked, or
it's always
big titty afro, like they're always
passive. It's happening to them. They're not engaging. They're not consenting.
Yeah. So like having like tools like that in your mind, especially as a younger male child, will help you grow up to like not be an asshole.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh man.
And I would say this is a lot to cover. A lot of this your child may get from the outside world because it's just so much information.
Yeah.
So letting this don't go in with the idea that you're going to teach him about every single last one of these.
Because
children are sponge. They pick up things from mm-hmm. everywhere. Letting this conversation be child-led.
Mm-hmm.
Letting know what he can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Letting know that it's a safe space. So
an open door.
Because mm-hmm, we don't want to come at him, well, porn did this. And he's like, I'm not even watching it. This ain't relevant.
Porn.
You know, but if he starts watching porn and he's like, well, we need to increase the broadband because the internet connection is slow and it should keep buffering. You want him to be able to come and say that, like, my porn pause, help. Maybe not that, but yeah, letting it be child-led because this can be a lot.
Yeah.
You want to break it up, but even in those, you know, breaking it up, let it be led. Let him discuss what he knows and what he has questions about, and then you know what the topic is or how to steer him
mm-hmm.
in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't come with a 5-page syllabus. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to cover this. Like, whoo.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I am not ready.
So you're taking notes. Like, damn, like, I thought that today
was
Saturday.
I got to keep this for early.
I didn't know that I had to go to school today. Did they talk about PrEP?
Yes.
Did they talk about the HPV vaccine?
No.
Okay. That's not something that... I mean, you should obviously talk to him about it because mm-hmm. he'd be getting it. But I would just encourage like parents to do that.
And if that is a decision that you've made for your child.
Yeah.
Informing him about what that is, that goes into the STD talk. Like HPV is something that you can carry and affect to other people that mm-hmm. may or may not harm you, but can harm the people that you're.
And harm him too. Like throat cancer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
That's why I said may or may not. I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. I was like, can they get testicle cancer? We don't know what
happens. Throat cancer and anal cancer mm-hmm. are caused by some HPV strains. Yeah.
So, yeah, this affects his health as well.
Just knowing that it exists.
Yes, knowing that it exists so that he can not think about it. But
just know that it exists. Yeah, mm-hmm. like it's not just like condoms out here. There's mad ways to protect yourself. Did they talk about what happens if you do get an STD?
No, not in length,
uh-huh.
but talking about your child about STDs, that would actually be a good thing. You know, what do you want your child to do if they contract an STD? Mm-hmm. Which I would, for me, I want my child to come and tell me, because children love to try to figure things out on their own. So.
He's Googling. He's just Googling away.
And they will do things like try to stick lemon juice up their urethra.
Oh, no.
Who knows what the internet is telling them? Yeah, but it's like, if you do not feel well in your body, come and tell me. Mm-hmm. And no matter what it is, you know, we will figure it out. You will not be in trouble. You will not be shamed because I have to take care of your health.
And then also come and tell me when you do start having sex, because then you should be getting tested pretty regularly. And you should, if you're a girl, you should start getting pap smears. Mm-hmm. Or if you have a vagina, you should start getting pap smears.
And I can help you get contraceptives and, you know, all these things.
Yes, contraception too.
Because there will be a bowl of condoms in my house. So if you don't get your life together.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, definitely, you know, letting him know that he can come to you, because children do weird things when their genitals start hurting. Mm. And even if it's not sexually related, they hide these things
because there's shame
around these body parts. And it's like, no, we got to figure out what's happening.
Exactly. There could be anything going on.
Did you hurt yourself, or is this just what genitals do? Like, you know, there should be no... That reminds me of an article. It was an article that I read. A young man... I just gonna get a little dark. A young man died by suicide for complications with his penis. Mm-hmm. And it was like, from an early age, he had trouble like pulling his foreskin back.
Oh my God.
And then he went to some doctor that botched him and like really like fucked up his life. And the mental stress of it was too much. So he died by suicide. And his mother was like, if I only knew like you've been doing this since 16, we could have figured it out. Like, so, yeah, it's like they got to come to you and start telling you about these body parts that are hurting. Like, because he shouldn't have had to struggle with that. And as you get older, we do try to separate our genitals from our parents, the older that we are. So it's like,
that's true.
If we can get them to be open and honest. If my son is 26 and he comes and says his dick hurts. Cool. Did you make a doctor's appointment? Yeah, like, I'm not going to take them, but did you make one, you know? You know, but at 12, I'm like, all right, let's call the pediatrician. Let's go see what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope that helps, Whitney.
Yeah, I hope that helps. Yeah. I definitely hope that helps. I had like one more thing that I was thinking of, but I don't remember what it was. So never mind.
Something you want to add.
Oh, was Plan B also in birth control?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Cool. And if not, Plan B.
Yeah.
Letting them know, you know, if you need it, come. I'll front you that $50.
Exactly.
You are going to have to work for it. But but I will give it to you, and we will get this person a Plan B. And then you're going to mow the lawn for the next 10 weeks for $5 a week.
Yeah.
Because money ain't free.
Yeah. Definitely develop this kind of like open conversation environment and stuff like that. And then also, like, it doesn't just have to be like that one definitive talk. Sometimes, like, even with my younger brother, like, this is a bunch of stuff that he doesn't know, even though he's like an adult now, but like, I'll use things that
an
are
adult.
Happening. Yeah, he's an adult. But I'll use like something, like if we're watching TV together or something like that, I'll use that as like a teachable moment.
No, definitely. Like, I've had my son say some very problematic things. Like, I remember I used to sing verses of songs with him. He's like, mommy, that's a boy verse. And I was like,
ain't no such thing as a boy.
Yeah, like, and I use
verse.
That to talk about gender and what people can do, and, you know, not assigning gender to non-living things. Like, there's no boy shirt or boy verses. Anyone can sing this, you know. So using real life things, if you see something hateful on TV and he's watching it, right there is a moment to correct it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right, let us know how it went, Whitney, because I'm pretty sure it's probably happened already, but...
Oh, actually, Whitney, there's one more resource I want to give you.
Or how it's going, because, you know,
so
this
there
is
an Instagram page called Sex Positive Families, LLC. So that is SEXPOSITIV_families. And the whole page is dedicated to teaching children about sex, sexual identity, how to broach these conversations. And they have workshop resources and a plethora of other things. So that is also helpful.
That's good.
Look through that and see what you get from it.
Did they talk about lube?
I'm not 100% sure. But sex we can toys? Talk about it here.
Sex toys?
No.
Yeah. I guess also just like understanding that pee in vagina is not the only way.
Not the only form of sex.
Yeah. And lubrication through the vagina is not the only type of lubrication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or lubrication through the anal canal is not the only type of lubrication. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. Look at me. Heteronormatizing things. All right, yeah. I hope it all goes well, Whitney.
Yeah, and I know that Marsha, I know that Diamond, Mia, and Z had given this response a lot earlier. Mm-hmm. And you guys said next month, and I don't know what month that was, but it sure isn't this one.
It, yeah.
or the upcoming one. So yeah. I hope it really helps, and this helps you continue the conversation.
Yeah. All right, next one. Let's go on to. This is by L.
Mm-hmm.
And L writes, this was specifically in regards to the episode called Pegging with Wheezy that me and Rebecca did. So she addresses me and Rebecca and she says, hello, Sam and Rebecca. I love your podcast. I listen to it frequently. I'm always learning something new and able to nuance my understanding of sex, race, gender, all while laughing my ass off because you are all funny. But I thought to message you today as a portion of the episode with Wheezy WTF brought up a thing for me and I thought to share it. I'm a person connected ethnically to Israel, Judaism, Palestine, and Islam. And so that part of the world is a big part of me. At the start of the episode, you were all sharing a story about a man who expressed hateful words towards Wheezy for being Israeli and black. As the brief story went on, it seemed that being Israeli was equated to being Jewish. And I know that is what Wheezy identifies as, but as she didn't share it with him that she was Jewish, but rather Israeli, I would understand the guy's comments towards her as possibly having a strong opinion about Israel and less about the Jewish religion. That's because being Israeli does not equate to being Jewish. Nonetheless, his comments were still inappropriate, but listening to the episode for the first time, I felt an intense set of feelings arise in me as the misconception is reverberating a lot of hate, occupation, militarization, and settlements in the religion and in the USA right now against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and scholar Angela Davis and others that spoke up about this misconception. Because of this, I thought it was worth bringing up my experience. I know you all have shared some items about Black internationalists, like Alice Walker, who has spoken about Israel and the religion in her activism, and that encouraged me to reach out and express my thought. Sometimes I think it's not about focusing on every word we all put out there, but at other times I feel it is, and this is exactly what I want to learn from this podcast. How do we all use language that is simply more inclusive of all gender identities, sexual identities, racial identities, and other experiences out there, aka decolonize our words? I'm still learning. I learn from you all every day. I don't know how this would have been mitigated or addressed at the time, even if it needed to be, but I know I wanted to simply share my experience. I hope my comment would be heard in a positive light, as my intent is to simply contribute positively to you all's work and I experience as a rare set of nuanced conversations on race, gender, and justice in our world. Salam and shalom, L. Thank you, L. I really appreciated that. I think that it could have been addressed and mitigated at the time. Sometimes it's hard when you're hosting a thing and engineering a thing to like catch all of the things that are happening sometimes. And this is just like a peeling back of like podcastingness. Sometimes like people do say things where I'm like, that could have been like a little bit better. Or there's like an asterisk there where it needs more unpacking. Mm-hmm. And if I don't see a space for it in the interview itself, usually I'll just cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't really a way to cut around that. But I think like at the time I could have just been like, yeah, you know, Israeli doesn't necessarily mean Jewish, but continue.
Mm-hmm.
Could have just been that. So my apologies for letting that equation make it to the edit. And thank you for unpacking that, because it's true. Yeah, I do have a lot of thoughts about Israel and their bullshit, but this is not the podcast for that. And so
this is not the episode for that.
Exactly.
Either.
So I keep that to myself.
How do we all use language that is simply more inclusive of all gender identities, sexual identities, racial identities, and other experiences out there, aka decolonizing our words? Well, it's twofold for me. It's number one, I'm surrounded by people who also practice this in their day-to-day life. So it's literally learning from my community. And if I say something problematic, someone will tell me.
Yeah.
And they will not, you know, call me out or shame me on it, but hold me accountable and teach me what to say.
Yeah.
You know, positive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And feedback, and two, taking that and also being mindful of my word, you know, Like, it wasn't, it was just the other day when me and Sam was in the car and I was like, I was talking about an undershirt for my son and called it a wife beater. And I was like, wow, wait a minute.
Yeah. Something ain't right about that.
Let's find another word for that, you know, and then being mindful in using other words for it, you know.
Yeah. Like earlier with the dumb bitch juice, that's why I said silly bitch serum, because I used to say dumb bitch juice a lot. And I started trying to cut out the word dumb from my vocabulary because it's ableist. So, yeah, little stuff like that.
And in Sam doing that, I've learned to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of all have as an Inner Ho uprising over the past couple of months. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Thank you, Elle. Next up, you want to read that one?
Yes, this is from Slick and Salacious.
Ooh.
They left a comment on one of our Patreon posts and they wrote, when I donated, it wouldn't let me leave a message, but I wanted to say this for months now in Nikki voice. I don't know what that is, so I'm going to read this.
Assuming it's Nicki Minaj.
I don't know what voice she does.
She has like so many different voices, actually.
Yeah, so I'm going to read this in my voice. I support these hoes. I support these hoes. Also, can y'all do an episode on anal health? I've been having a dry spell because ninjas, even some of the gay / bi ones, ain't shit and the bussy was imploding. Y'all gotta love modern marvels of technologies, butt plugs. P.S. Please don't say my government name if it's there. It wasn't there.
Yeah. I would love to do an episode about anal health.
Yes. I was thinking of our episode on STDs, our live show with Alex Omo and
Janelle,
but that wasn't on anal health. That was just stick a Q-tip up that ass.
Yeah, there were some anal moments. Anal moments.
I would love a conversation on anal health because I don't know what happens when your bussy implodes, but I want to learn because it seems like we have to keep it open with a butt plug. So this is something I need to know. This is just not.
I thought that they were using that as like a euphemism.
No, I think it might start to cave in. I don't know. You see, this is why we need to know.
Oh no.
I don't know what happens. And I'm not one that partakes in anal sex. So it's, you know, it's not something I'm gonna learn from experience. So we're gonna add this to our list of topics and we're going to work. Try to get this out.
Do you find that, well, you haven't been fucking in like 84 years, but like as the host of Inner Ho Uprising, I think people just like expect me to be like with it and about it and all of it all the time, which is annoying because like don't essentialize me. But for some reason,
you mean like sexual activities?
Yes.
Okay.
But for some reason, these niggas like really think that I want to do anal with them. And like I'm gonna be like the first butt that they do it on. And I'm like, I don't even want to do anal with anybody. Yeah, sidebar, whatever. Anyway. All right, so we got this letter a couple of months ago, and we responded to them via email because it seemed very pressing at the time. And now we're going to share it with you all in case, you know, other folks might get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or have anything to add to it.
That's also a good point. So this is written by Clit Dickless, and they write, hello, you can call me Clit Dickless, she, her, hers. I went through a clitoridectomy kind of surgery when I was little, and no matter how much I think I am over it, I'm really not. I'm pretty sure I don't have a clit, and I'm too scared to find out for sure by going to the gyno. I know it sounds stupid, but a bitch has anxiety, depression, and PTSD. I have not had sex yet. I identify as queer, but I am not around enough queer people of color, and I haven't found people I like that I'm also attracted to. I think my past trauma plus female genital mutilation caused me to not be fully sexually attracted to anyone, especially men. Part of me wants to get into a relationship where someone would help me figure out what I like, but as a 22-year-old, boys my age, emphasis on the boys, are trash, and older guys creep me out, so I'm hopeless in that department. The reason why I reached out is because I'm too scared to learn about my body. I masturbate, but never to orgasm. I never tried toys because I'm scared of inserting something into my vagina and the possible pain. I'm scared to go to a gyno. I just feel like a whole mess, and I'm tired of being ashamed of my vagina and sexuality. It's been too long, and I'm aching to start feeling pleasure and not be disgusted with myself. I'm just writing this email without looking back at it because I'm so nervous, and so I'm sorry if things are not making sense. I'm in therapy, and it's slowly helping, but I just want my nut already. valid. Is female orgasm even a thing? Help, please. Thank you. Clit dickless.
So I responded back to Clit dickless, and I'll just read it. Okay. So I stated, firstly, it does not sound stupid, nor is it stupid to have anxiety, depression, PTSD, or any of the difficulties with your mental health, especially given what sounds like compounded experiences of trauma. It is actually quite normal and expected as a mental health professional, and I am so glad to hear that you're in therapy. You didn't say how long you've been in therapy or your motivations for going, but I'm going to assume it was in part to deal with your trauma. If so, have you presented these fears and desires in therapy? And if not, why not? Therapy is a slow process, but one way to, quote unquote, speed things along is to present your immediate concerns in session or focus your session where you need it to go to help you process what seems pressing. Secondly, female orgasm is a thing. Whew. And a majority of people are able to reach it. A large percentage of female-bodied people reach orgasm through direct clitoral stimulation, which, given your history, may make things more difficult but not impossible. Orgasms can be reached through stimulation of other erogenous zones, but this requires you getting through the fear of learning about your body first. I completely agree that boys are trash. Older men do not get much better. However, I do not think getting into a relationship is a surefire way to identify what you like. More than likely, it'll only help you identify what you do not like, mostly because boys are trash.
Mm-hmm.
Learning your body, especially with history of sexual trauma, should be a personal journey. My advice would be to start to explore your body and to incorporate your therapy into doing so, so that you can move at a safe healing space and avoid possibly re-traumatizing yourself. A lot of the activities you mentioned seem rather large steps that you might not be able to reach just yet. Mm-hmm. Incorporating your therapist / therapy may help you create a hierarchy that you can safely work your way up to. For example, the first step could be examining your whole body nude in front of a mirror, getting familiar and learning to appreciate yourself as a whole and the highest level being going to a gyno, with other steps such as examining your genitalia with a handheld mirror, learning your preferred erogenous zones, insertions of fingers, and then smaller objects into the vagina ranked in between. The idea that the hierarchy would go from least anxiety producing and easily able to do to most anxiety producing and most hard to do. You would want to be able to process each activity / attempt at activity in a safe way before moving on. I understand your frustration, confusion, and shame. You are not a mess, and there is no such thing as too long. You're in your early 20s. There is so much time ahead of you, and everyone's sexuality expands, evolves over their lifetime. Specifically for me, I began having sex at an early age, but just now in my mid-20s, damn near 30, have I started to work through shame of my body, to unlearn behaviors, learn through trauma, and really explore what I like and who I like sexually. I know what I discover now may change the older I get and the more I'm exposed to. Having sex or reaching orgasm will not help you to learn to appreciate your body and alleviate the disgust you feel. The two are not mutually exclusive. You have to work through the mental as well as the physical, and again, it's a journey. And then I thanked them for writing. I thanked her for writing, and asked her if it was okay to share on air.
Mm-hmm.
While reading that, One thing I didn't address was if she was seeing a sex therapist,
mm-hmm.
as rather than a plain mental therapist that I am,
mm-hmm.
Or someone who has been trained in trauma, sexual trauma, and navigating sexual experiences, because that would also be if that is the reason she's in therapy, because it can also just be other mental health stuff that a regular mental health therapist can help you address. That would also be really helpful.
It's going well.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day we'll be able to have a episode on female genital mutilation.
Yeah.
With someone, of course, who is comfortable and ready to discuss their experiences.
Yeah.
And when that day comes, we'll have that for you.
Yes. And that day will come.
It's gonna have to. We will be here till it comes.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a really good response, Akua.
Thank you
for taking the time out. Yeah. Okay, so we're finishing up pretty soon. Now we have a spicy story from Dave. That's funny. That's Akua's son's name. It's not the same Dave, though.
Oh, he can't write all of this now.
Oh, man. So Dave writes, "Hey, hoes, here's a story for the fuck you segment. Last night while driving for Lyft, I picked up these two beautiful ladies. They got in the back and kept to themselves. They laughed, giggled, and were just talking to each other. The ride was over 30 minutes. I figured I wouldn't be pushy, so I kept to myself. About 10 minutes into the ride, it got quiet. Then I heard moaning." Could you imagine if you're driving in Lyft and then all of a sudden? "I checked the rearview mirror and saw the girl on the passenger side head back and the girl behind me, her head was bobbing up and down. It hit me. They were both trans. I started driving slowly as I watched. Fuck yes, I was hard. The girl on my right looked up and saw I was watching. She licked her lips and she pushed her friend's head up and down. It was so fucking sexy watching her come. Once she came, she couldn't move fast enough to go down on her partner. The girl behind me said, 'Oh my God, he's watching us.' They knew." The first girl said, 'I don't give a fuck. He's next,' with a mouthful of dick. Me, I couldn't really see the action directly behind me, but I could hear it. It was that good old sloppy toppy head. We got to their destination, but she wasn't done. 'Come, bitch,' the first girl said. 'I'm trying. Keep sucking.' I turned around. Look at me." Wait, what? "I turned around, look at me."
Someone said, "Look at me."
Okay. "Oh my God, yes. You want me to watch? You want me to watch you?" I said. Oh, wait, sorry. "Oh my God, yes. You want to watch me? You want me to watch you?" I said. Her eyes locked on mine as she moaned louder. She grabbed the headrest in one hand. I locked eyes on her and interlocked our fingers with the other. "That's it. That's it," she cried. I'm so bad at this.
Samantha does not read erotica for a show. It will not be that.
"I'm coming." She squeezed my hand as she thrust it up, let out a loud "wake the neighbors up" type moan. "Shit, that was intense. Fuck. Best lift ever." Do you always play with your passengers?" she asked. "I'm just here to help. It's called customer service."
That's what he said.
The first girl said, "You deserve a tip. Can you take the tip?" she asked with a wink. "I got money to make, but too bad you could have had two tips," the other girl said as she got out of her car. Everybody's very quippy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
"Now I'm sitting in my car with a rock hard dick and a car that smells like cum and ass." Straight face. "Oh well, time to find a good episode of Inner Heart Uprising on the next ride. That's it for now. Love you guys. Respectfully, Dave."
Dave.
With respect, Dave.
Thank you for sharing your experience.
Dave is out here.
Wild shit be happening out here in life.
Yeah. That's interesting. Have you ever had sex in a cab, Akua?
No.
Would you?
It's like these questions don't make me a liar, Smith. Because one day I walk in, it's fucking in a lift. Foreplay kind of thingies, but no, not full blown on sex in this man's car.
Yeah, that's true.
Or this, you know, driver's car.
Yeah. I don't. Full blown sex in a driver's car. Like, nope, never say never.
You know, never say never, but I haven't, and I don't foresee it in the future. I definitely don't foresee it in my future.
I haven't, but I don't not foresee it in the future. Mm-hmm. So.
At first, there was going to be a comment about him watching.
Yeah.
But then as they went on and they enjoyed him voyeuring, I was mm-hmm. like, all right, then.
I mean, that's kind of like they were doing it. So, and that's my car. So whether I'm watching for like sexuality purposes or not, I'm going to look at you.
I mean,
you're in my car and I use this car to make money. That's like somebody fucking in your store.
I don't know. I don't know.
You think he was creepy for watching?
A little bit. Like, I understand hearing things and looking because human nature is like, what is that? We're curious.
Yeah.
But if I see someone in a sexual act and they have not told me I can look, I feel like that's just very non-consent-y. You know, you just try your best to keep your eyes for it. Of course, there is no privacy when you're in someone else's property vehicle. And I feel like that was like a whole Lyft or Uber story.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm just like just full blown watching.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I try really hard not to. And I'm a voyeur.
I guess if I was not invited. Well, I'm very awkward. So I would say, are you guys having sex back there?
Well,
I would immediately say it. And then I would probably say, like, you have to get out of my car.
Yeah, like, you can't do this here.
So, like, in this, if this was a fantasy, right, I definitely would be on the side of the people in the back, but I would never be on his side, because I would always say, get the fuck out of my car, please.
Yeah, y'all not going to be exchanging your bodily fluids in my car seat.
Yeah.
And I got to clean it, and I don't want to do that either.
Exactly. Or just, like, you're just doing... This is not the contract that we agreed to when you, like, called me. Yeah, I'm supposed to be driving you to a place safely. Why
A are you and fucking B, in the back of my car?
Yeah, I might actually be a little angry that they were driving.
I can see that. Yeah. Smith and we pissed.
I would just pull over, like, this has got to stop. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether you stop, you actually have to just get out.
You have to get out of my car. You can do this on the side of the road.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I would try to drive them to a safe space. Mm-hmm. Or like wait till another Uber comes, but nah, that's bullshit. But thank you, David. I'm glad you all enjoyed that experience.
Mm-hmm. So this is from Anonymous, and they write, "Hey, very recently I found an international multiracial group of queers, and we're all getting along very well. After an event, we went to one of the gay guy's house for a quote unquote glass of wine." We all know that ain't a glass. That's like, do you want to come up for a nightcap?
A nightcap, yeah. That's like me on your penis. Exactly. Like, that's what that a nightcap is. The nightcap. The vagina is the cool. Nightcap, or the butthole is the nightcap.
Which turned into sharing sex stories, dancing until clothes were coming off. I've never twerked out my pants.
It's coming off. Oh,
playing blindfolded sexual guess who, which turned into an orgy. That's what y'all went up there for.
Exactly.
Okay? This was foreplay for this orgy.
Exactly. We just twerked out, our clothes came off. Oh,
I've never twerked out my clothes. In the beginning, we were quite a few people and people were exploring, but then the people who didn't want to deal with pussy left the room while the rest of us continued. It was all really spontaneous and intuitive and very, very exciting. I just really felt in my element. Then after a couple of hours of heavy petting and swapping, we went to a bed and some of the people went home. After a short while, I woke up because I was really horny and I realized one of the girls left. So there was only one guy and another girl left. The guy was spooning the girl who was spooning me. Oh, that sounds comfortable.
Yeah, it does.
Me and this girl who was left had been really vibing all night long. When I realized she was awake as well from her brushing my nipple several times and making small movements that revealed that she was awake, but I assumed I was the only one who was still horny after that night, until I noticed his hands moving over her body and these movements became more intense. I turn around and we spent another 90 minutes having sex, just the three of us, before we fell asleep again. Afterwards, we had breakfast with the others who lived there. Yesterday, I slept with the guy and the girl again, and it turned out that they're a poly couple on the DL, and I just feel so blessed that I get so much friendly love and physical appreciation. Spreading the love. Have a great weekend.
That was very nice.
That sounds lovely.
It does.
Okay.
Like, all of it sounds really, really nice.
Like, what?
Sounds like it felt good, like, emotionally, sexually, spiritually. And they ate afterwards. It's just all really...
The breakfasts were really what got me. I was like, this is a night well spent. Exactly. We ain't eating breakfast.
Yeah, I really like to, like, get drunk in a place and then wake up in that same place. Mm-hmm. And then have a lovely morning. Like, that's a good experience. Like, that is... I think that's what my 30s are.
Yeah. Getting drunk in a place.
Or just, like, older 20s.
Waking up in that safe space.
Exactly. Like, getting drunk at an unknown place and, like, struggling to get home. That shit is for the birds now,
son. That shit's not fun no more.
Yeah, that shit is whack, bro. This is good shit.
Yes.
Happy that happened to you. One last one. This one is along the same lines as the Israel one, in which we're getting some fact-checking from the homies. All right, so this one is from Shaheen. And Shaheen had written, "My favorite hoes, I'm just listening to the Animals Do Be Gay Though episode." I love these episode titles, man. They are so fun. So Shaheen said, "Due to the fact that I'm a Black German femme and I really love your podcast, I have to clarify a few things for you really quick. One, you played the German national anthem. Well, the part that was banned after World War II, it translates to Germany, Germany over everything. Nah, we don't want that because it's the Nazi anthem now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did not know that. So that was an accident. My bad. We don't even play clips on this show anymore. So this is like a really long time ago. Rob mentioned that people in Germany don't look like Black Americans, that Black people here are the children of refugees that totally ignored us. That totally ignores us Black Germans who live here for generations, were born and raised here like you were in the U.S. Germany had colonies and lost them after World War II. Since then, they are in denial of all colonial history, and most Black German citizens lost their citizenship when the Nazis were in power. Black people died in concentration camps or were forced into sterilization. Today, we have to fight against that narrative that erases us, and that Black German history, or her story, that is not about immigrants or refugees. Nothing against Rob, but American soldiers are in their bubble most of the time, no matter in which country they are. I can imagine that because my father is an army guy. I didn't grow up with him, and I had to open his eyes about what Black lives actually look like around here when you don't come from the privilege of being the quote unquote cool Black guy white Germans only know from TV. I love your show and listen to it every day since I discovered it. Thank you for educating, speaking up against the bullshit, and you are fucking hilarious. XO Shaheen. And one thing that might be interesting, Audre Lorde spent a significant amount of time in Berlin, Germany, inspired a group of Black lesbian women who became and are still activists in a grassroots movement in Germany.
What has Audre Lorde not done?
That's also very true. Yeah.
I was like, what?
A mother of like everything, yeah. Honestly. But thank you, Shaheen. Yeah, just shit that niggas don't know.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah, and we appreciate you for telling us. Yeah.
And writing it in an email to us.
Exactly. And not being like, one star. This is the worst podcast I've ever heard. I used to love this podcast like 2 weeks ago, but now I fucking hate it. One star. But also, respect to you also. That's it.
Yes.
Send us you could ask us for advice, share your hotels, rant against the white cishet patriarchy, send us your steamy sex story, send us your fact-checking moments, all of that to ISUpodcast@gmail.com. And we do ask that you produce your pronouns. And we do ask that you include your pronouns. That's it for another episode of Inner Ho Uprising.
Yes. And if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You go to innerhouprising.com to pay a ho, check out merch, check out our events calendar. That exists, right?
Yes, it does.
Check out our events calendar to keep up with us. Yeah. You guys can follow me at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. I'm sitting on a bunch of pictures that I just haven't edited, but one night I will, and they'll all be there, and you'll enjoy
it. Lit. Yes.
Yes. Come to all of our events, Juneteenth, Afrocent Audio, Marcia's Plate Live Show,
Sex Trivia, Jazz Hands. Yeah. All right. Bye.